And I hope to have a little bit of time for some questions at the end. But we work with boys who are having a hard time in life. Troubled boys, boys who are probably not what we would call delinquents, but boys who aren't making good choices, hardly know how to make a good choice, and are kind of in a rut, kind of stuck in the way they live life and it not being a very, very successful way of living life. And so again, we follow the master and we do what, or we try to do what he did so well, and we try to redeem, we try to save, we try to help those who have great need. And our culture is not in a very good place. The family structure is crumbling. Did you know that the divorce rate is actually falling? But the reason it's falling is because people aren't even getting married. And so it used to be everyone would get married and then get divorced. Now they just live together and go from one relationship to another. And this is incredibly hard on children being raised in that kind of a setting. And so we see a lot of struggles and problems that come up with boys who don't grow up having a biological father to give them direction, to give them care and just relationship. And so there are a number of things that end up coming out as the result. They're not the cause, but they end up being the result or the symptom or the consequence of a broken family. And so over the years, there have been a number of camps. You're probably most familiar with Fair Play, just to the east of you here, and a great place. Encourage you young people to go and serve there, come to Ohio, go wherever, go to Mexico. Doesn't make any difference. Just go and take the Lord Jesus with you and be a blessing to others and share his love and his good news. There in Ohio, we started in 2009, and we're in the southeastern portion of the state, kind of rugged. We purchased an old limestone quarry, has a lot of ponds on it, old pits. It has been reclaimed, and so things look a little nicer, but we're very blessed with the property that we have, a lot of variety, hills and valleys both. Just here this last year, we purchased an additional 42 acres right beside us to give a little more room as we expand from three groups of boys to four. So that's exciting. So here's what's left of my family at home. Chief Nate is the program director, Nate Brenneman and Juliana. Supervisors, we have Wes and Janae Kaufman and Mel and Emma Landis. A couple of single guys for supervisors, Justin Miller and Kirvin Summers. Family workers, Amos and Ida, and Davey and Hannah. Hannah's my oldest daughter. Nice to have her back around in the area. And we have some maintenance folks, Kent and Danae Summers. Ah, there's somebody you recognize, girls in the office, Miss Heather and Miss Melita. And the boys' most favorite people at camp. The cooks, who work hard to get us good meals. And Bethany is also a daughter. Chiefs, so the oldest guys and our middle group, woodsmen, and our explorers, our little guys. And here's our board. I don't know if you recognize any of those names or faces. And our pastoral advisory committee. And a couple places that help us a lot are our thrift stores. You have thrift stores associated with Fair Play as well, but our thrift stores do a lot to help us be able to provide camp to families regardless of their ability to pay. That's a huge blessing. The vast majority of our, I would say probably 95% of the families that we've had almost 150 families now, would not have been able to come to camp if there would not have been some ability to help them meet those tuition costs. So that's a big blessing. So we also have needs in our thrift store, girls and guys alike. That's another place that you can be involved in camp. So why do boys come to camp? Well, they come to camp because they don't solve problems well. Lots of ways to solve problems, but not all of them are successful. You can just get mad and loud and angry, maybe even get physical, and pretty soon the problem that you did have is quite small compared to the one that you're creating right now. So it's a kind of distraction, but it doesn't lead to good results. You can blame somebody else. It's their fault. But that doesn't solve the problem. It just creates more problems because now you made them upset because you're blaming them when they really shouldn't be blamed. There's running away. Literally running away or emotionally running away by just shutting down and not being willing to talk about it. So when I showed a picture of a single supervisor, if you remember the first one, Justin Miller, he was camper number 3 at our camp. And he's come back and he's been a chief, and now he's back as a supervisor. Well, I remember well sitting in the office with him, talking about his problems. And he only had one response. That's all you could get out of him. That's a way of dealing with a problem that's not very successful. He's quite successful these days as a supervisor. He's a real blessing. And so boys come for different reasons. And they come from different environments and different places. But they all come with problems that need to be solved. And they don't know how to solve them. And many times the adults in their life have kind of sunk down to their level and aren't helping them solve problems either. So we kind of cut our age limit off at about 15. Camp is fun. We do lots of fun things. We canoe, we hike, we cook outdoors, we sleep outdoors, we fish, can have a great time. But camp is also very hard because the entire mindset that they use to live life, we're trying to change. And that's not an easy task. And we spend a lot of time circled up in problems. We'll see that in a minute. But it takes some fun to balance out those really hard times that we're going to have as we try to work through problems and how to learn how to approach problems in a different way. So by the time a guy's 15, he's thinking sports and buy a car and get a job and have a girlfriend and, you know, those things like fishing and hiking, and camping, they don't look so fun anymore. So one of the reasons that we kind of cut it off at that age level is because there just isn't the balance. Camp just looks really, really hard. It already looks hard because we don't have any electronics at camp. And at whatever age they are anymore, you know, they're just used to that electronic connection with other things and people. And yeah, camp can be hard. So what does camp look like? Well, we have just 2 rules. A lot of places have a long list of rules, and if you break the rules, here's the consequence. We just have 2 rules. We do everything together as a group. Not a lot of me time at camp. We're going to stick together and we're going to be a group. And we're going to do what we do with a good attitude. So the first one's usually not too terribly hard. We don't have a lot of boys that run away. Hearing the coyotes howl at night kind of helps that a little bit. Keeps them in bed, keeps them in their tents. But the second one is a problem. Doing things with a good attitude. That's often where things fall short and we have to stop what we're doing and get circled up to solve a problem. We have the ABCs of camp. A clean camper. Most of our guys come and take real good care of themselves. They don't feel probably very good about who they are, and so it's not really worth taking care of themselves. It's a big fight for mom beginning to brush his teeth. Shower once a week is maybe a dream, and it's just a battle. So just helping the guys learn how to how to take care of themselves and how to be clean. And it's not a fight. It's not a battle at camp. You know, boy walks into camp and there's a little bit of a culture going on in the group. And if the whole group after Chuck Wagon walks down to the PH tent and starts brushing their teeth, well, guess what he does? He just brushes his teeth. It's not a big fight like it is at home. No, the first few home visits, he'll probably go home and it'll still be the same battle that it always was. It takes time because he goes back and falls into the same routine, is dealing with the same person. Unfortunately, mom is probably reacting the same way she's always reacted at this point. And so, yes, it can be a battle at home, but slowly over time, he gets used to doing it, whether it's just out of habit or whether it's really understanding that this is a wise thing to do. So he learns how to do that. And hopefully mom at home learns how to not react when he doesn't want to brush his teeth and the battle begins to escalate and it just becomes more and more of a problem. A clean tent. So our family workers, when they go and visit a boy, they'll go up to the room and they'll see what the room's like. And usually the room is either a wreck or it's immaculate. So it's most often a wreck. Holes punched in the walls, windows broken out, door on the closets hanging off to one side, closets just a heap, and yeah, clothes everywhere. Usually not very clean for most of our guys. If it's immaculate, most likely mom can't stand it being a mess and she just cleans it herself. Not too many of our guys are neat freaks. Occasionally we get to one, but yeah, we have to help him learn how to just keep his area neat, how to take care of things, help him not to have too much stuff to take care of to begin with. So we're going to have chores in the morning, routines that help him get his area clean and ready to go for the day. And then also we're going to apply that next to his campsite. So we're going to go through and clean our campsite. We're going to clean our lantern globes. We're going to rake our trails. We're going to clean privy, collect the trash in the baskets, a number of things. And a lot of our guys really don't appreciate mom very well. I mean, a lot of these guys have single moms. Most of our boys are either adopted or they're from single mom families. Probably less than 10% would have biological mom and biological dad that they live with. And so mom's trying to hold down a job and she's often getting called to the job by the school. You know, your boy's a problem. You need to come pick him up the rest of the day. Okay, so what's she supposed to do now for work? And she comes home, tries to fix meals, tries to clean, keep things going. And the boy most likely is pretty ungrateful and just demanding this and demanding that. And how come I can't have this and that? And so he comes to camp and has to keep himself clean and his tent clean and his campsite clean and begins to appreciate maybe a little bit what mom does just to keep life normal. Right, ladies? Not special. That's normal. It takes a lot of work. And so hopefully we get them to understand and appreciate that a little bit better. So when they go home, they can be a little more of an asset, a little less of a liability. So ABCs of camp are a basic. If a group is functioning very poorly, you probably go back to their campsite and find some messes here and there. They just seem to be tied together. If they can be organized in their mind and keep their little world around them neat and organized and things in the proper place, well, somehow that translates to how they live emotionally. And so they kind of go together. ABCs of camp, really important. A lot of our guys, they come from a family life that doesn't have a lot of structure and routine. I remember going to one family, because I did family work in the very beginning, and there was no kitchen table. Well, there was a kitchen table, but it was piled high from end to end and side to side. There was no place to do anything at the kitchen table. Looked over at the counter, and oh, here's a little clear spot on the counter right beside the microwave. And I soon learned that the normal meal was you come in and you get whatever you can manage to rustle up for yourself, stick it in the microwave, take it out, sit in the sofa and watch the big screen. That was mealtime, three times a day. And they didn't all do it together. You know, one had this shift, one had that shift. We got school back and forth and Yeah, the idea of sitting down together and having a meal as a family and having conversation and catching up with each other and having some, not there at all. And so just the routines that we have at camp are often new and different, but they're very valuable as well, the ABCs of camp. So logs, you see the little U-shaped set of logs there. This is where we do transitions. So emotionally challenged children have a hard time in transitions. Once they get rolling on an activity, they're often okay, but the stop and the start is often when you see the emotional problems that come. And so we plan and we do and we evaluate, and we often do a lot of that right here at Logs, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So there's logs all over the place. There's logs before you go into chuck wagon. There's logs when you come into campsite. There's logs at the PH tent. Special set of logs for a powwow. There's logs for shower house, library. So any place where we're changing from one thing to another, there's a place to stop and, all right, let's be very intentional about this. What did we do? And where are we going next? Here's our chuck wagon. So we've been in the new chuck wagon about 4 years, I think, here in March, and it's a great blessing. This time we've got the office underneath and the laundry underneath. Eventually we'll get the office into a separate building, but we're not quite there yet. And so boys will come in to the meal. There'll be a supervisor there to greet them. Table setters will have come in earlier to get the tables ready, and then the supervisors call the rest of the group in, and they sit at tables as a group. The table setters getting things ready, and then we enjoy our meal together. Again, something different for a lot of them. Even just a good, solid, well-balanced meal is something that a lot of them aren't used to doing. A lot of them, you know, you go to school, and school provides often 2 free meals a day. You know what the first free meal is? Cereal. Every morning. That would get old after a while, I would think. That's what they're used to. So our cooks work hard to have nutritious and balanced meals. And so after we're done, we'll have sharing time, get the tables all cleaned up. Supervisors will lead that. So one group gets to share with the other groups what's been going on that day, what the plan is for that afternoon. We'll sing songs. Maybe we'll read a book. This time of year, when it's cold out and we like to spend a little more time in chuck wagon, we'll do a lot of reading with books. Right now we're reading a book about a school teacher in Alaska that had a challenging time just getting used to that culture. And we also have chapel. People often ask, you know, what kind of spiritual input do you have? Well, in the morning, after the boys have gotten out of tents, they go to morning logs and chief will have devotions for them. And then if it's a chuck wagon day, so we eat a chuck wagon 5 days a week, 2 days a week, they cook down at campsite. If it's chuck wagon day, they'll go up to chuck wagon. Supervisor will have devotions for them. And then we also have like a Wednesday evening vespers and a chapel on Sunday morning. Okay, so here's our plan, do and evaluate. So on Tuesdays, boys write their plans. They write their schedule out for the next week. And then that's what they will be following for the coming week, assuming that the supervisors haven't changed something here or there that needs to be adjusted. And so they'll be cooking meals those 2 days. So they'll have to write menus. That's all a piece of math and a piece of nutrition. As they learn how to write a good menu, when a boy first comes to camp, it's usually mac and cheese. Mac and cheese. I want to have a menu of mac and cheese, Chief. Guess what he had at home and what he's used to? Mac and cheese. But by the time they leave camp, they actually can be quite amazing cooks as they learn how to use spices. They build their own structures that they'll sleep in and that they'll function in, the number of tents in their campsite. And so that's a process, takes a lot of work. Everything at camp takes a lot of work on purpose, because it's important to keep them busy. And it's also important to have a flexible enough schedule that when there's a problem, we can stop and we can solve that problem. But one of the first ways a boy learns how to solve a problem is to solve a natural problem. Okay, so the posts are rotting off on this tent, chief. Well, that's about 6 years old. That's understandable. What do we need to do? Well, we need to replace it. That's a great idea. So let's start thinking about plans of replacing the tent. And so as they meet simple, everyday kind of natural problems to solve, chief's there to help them solve it. And hopefully that'll translate into the ability to learn how to solve emotional problems. And if we're really fortunate, the Lord will bless us with an opportunity to help him solve his spiritual problem. Because we all have a major spiritual problem that needs solved. So sometimes we're all happy and we can have fun and play games. Here's our new library, built out of logs off of the property. Our trading post. And we also take trips off the property. One of the advantages of taking trips is you learn how much structure and routine they've actually picked up from camp and will do when they're away from what forces structure and routine. There's no kitchen with set times. It's up to them to have a good schedule. It's also educational. All right, so sooner or later, we're going to run into an unhappy camper. And we want to help him learn how to solve problems, whether he's upset with himself, upset with his parents, upset with Chief. That's a real common one because the Chief didn't let him do what he wanted to do or whatever. Or upset with one of his fellow campers. So we're going to work at solving our problems. And we're going to stand in a group in order to do that. And so whatever we're doing, we're going to stop what we're doing. We're going to get in our group. And we're going to help each other solve problems. The guys that have been there longer probably don't take as much time, don't have as many problems, and are a big help to Chief as he helps lead the group to help the camper solve the problem. So 3x5 cards. Every boy comes to camp with a set of goals. He makes his own goals. These aren't mom's goals. These are his goals. And he's going to work on those goals, and we're going to review them every 90 days. And get fresh goals. So it's often something about anger or disrespect or language, often something about irresponsibility, you know, learn how to take care of my things. We frame them in a positive way to help him learn and grow. And so as he continues to take care of the major issues in his life and the medium issues in his life get better, pretty soon we're looking at graduating and going home. We want him to get back into the home as soon as we think he can be successful on a long-term basis in the home. And some of that also depends on the family. You know, some families are very dysfunctional. And family worker has a lot of work to do to help them learn how to provide the structure and the routine that the boys need at home and how to help lead them through the problem-solving process. Because, I should have asked this earlier. How many of you here don't have any problems? Okay, so we all have problems. And so that's a job for parents to do, is to teach our children, how do you work through the problems that you have? And as when we as parents aren't very capable of doing that ourselves, well, guess how much we're gonna pass on to our children as far as successful approaches to problem solving? Not much. And so family worker is often involved in just trying to help mom or mom and dad or stepdad or live-in boyfriend or whatever it is, learn how not to blow up and be explosive. Learn how to talk calmly. Learn how to realize, this child has learned how to push my buttons, right? And that's how he stays in control, by pushing my buttons and making me upset. So hopefully when that all kind of settles down and we get to a better place, we can graduate and go home and be successful. So the last couple of slides here are opportunities. Lots of opportunities at camp, at thrift stores, and ask for you to pray. You think of camps and think of Ohio. Right now, pray for Heather, that camp is an intense place. And so it's a challenge to come in and get acclimated to that. So she's enjoying herself by now. She's been a big blessing. She's a little flurry of activity and organization and fun to have in the office. I'm going to open it up for questions. I'm not that good. But I answered all your questions with just what I said. I think what I might do is play a video. This is a video of some former campers who have graduated.
When I was a young kid, something happened with my mother.
Can you hear that?
She was victimized.
Okay.
I was confused. I was conflicted. I had a lot of emotions that I didn't know how to handle, and I did not handle them well. I over time allowed anger to be the only emotion that I really allowed to show, and because of that, things don't go right in life. And as far as on a personal level, I got to camp because I needed to be there, and it took one walk through the Mountaineer Cross, or it was the Mountaineers campsite originally, and I don't know, something about it I knew right away was a good fit, and it was something that, you know, would prove beneficial for me in the long run. So I agreed and I went. Man, I not even went to camp at that young age. You learn how to deal with these feelings, this emotion, how to be accountable and responsible, whether I liked it or not, or called it that or not, how to do those things with choices I've made. I think, well, I know the outcome would be a lot worse. I know it would have.
Joe is one of four children that we adopted as soon as we moved. He started becoming violent and angry. More than a normal boy would be. My husband and I got to the place where we were just not able to provide the kind of care that we needed. We're at the end of ourselves as far as our knowledge, as far as resources available from the state, and we started seeking out an alternative way to take care of Joseph's needs. All along the way, at Bolio Boys Camp, showed and expressed a great care and concern about the Joseph and our family.
The biggest thing for me, and always growing up, was he never sat down and talked about stuff. You know, something happened, fly off the handle and move on, or bottle up and move on. Whereas in camp, you know, you really don't have that option. Well, you can, but it's going to come out eventually. And that's one of the biggest things, just being able to accept and being able to admit when you're wrong. Half of the way I operate my life on a day-to-day basis, I do with this simple structure that I had gotten at camp. Waking up and doing chores and stuff like that. You know, as much as I hated it back then, it built character. But you know, there was an effect, an outcome for your actions, whether it's good or bad. So I remember for the first time in my life, getting structure in a way that I thought I was privy to not having to be a part of. And, when you learn that, with wherever you come from in life, you're no better than anybody, and everybody treated the same, both in positive and negative rewarding. I think that realization in and of itself is a big part of they've taken that next step into actually having to leave camp. I first got saved at camp. a personal structure and the kind of discipline, self-discipline that it takes to just do it, even though you don't necessarily feel like doing it. And I also learned the kind of brutal honesty that's necessary for a person to develop any kind of character at all.
The Chiefs are tireless in their efforts. They're consistent. And they clearly love what they do. And they loved our son Joseph, as well as the other boys that are there, unconditionally, unwaveringly, no matter how nasty my son was to them. They still, at the end of the conversation, said, you know, we see hope, we see change, there's a future for Joe. And that, as a mom, is heartwarming, but it's also something that you really want to hold on to when you're in the pit of despair and you think, there's nothing I can do for this child, there's no way that I can help them, I'm out of resources, I'm out of efforts, I'm tired, I'm exhausted.
Okay. If there's no questions, I'll sit down. Thank you.
Joe, you might get more questions at lunch. I guess any would be more, right? Appreciate your time to share with us this morning. I think it's